Okay, we're ready to begin with the continuation of Richie's half-completed introduction to this new Perek Shvi on Erevin. Daf Ayin Vav Amud Aleph. Go for it, Richie. Wow. Okay. Not quite sure what particular Yiddish that was, but definitely there's some country somewhere that might accept it. Doc was cringing. The Rebbe was cringing, but that's okay. Now that Harry Potter is finally available in Yiddish, we can get you a copy, and if you read it through, I'm sure that your Yiddish will improve drastically. But you got to buy fast, because they sell out within moments. It's no joke. Okay, so we're ready today on Daf Ayin Vav in our new Perek, amazing Perek Chalon. All right, so now what we're going to be talking about is the question of how do we define an area of an opening that could actually integrate, if you want, two different chatzeros, and on the other hand, if you don't want, allow you to have separate eruvim without being troubled by the other chatzer. Now, we know that you could have a door. We spoke about doors in the past, but how about a small window which divides between? So says the Mishnah, a chalon shebein shtei chatzerot, arba'a l'arba'a, if it's betoch asara, ma'arvim shnayim, v'im ratzu ma'arvim echad. So basically the rule is, if you've got an opening, remember the smallest opening that we consider to be negotiable, when we're talking about the daka, and all the other cases where we had issues of openings to get out of your mavoi, and so on and so forth. So the minimum opening would need to be 4 tvachim by 4 tvachim, and it needs also to be positioned within 10 tvachim of the ground for the very simple reason that if you have a mechitza which is 10 tvachim high, even if that's all that it is, that is a complete and total separation between two rishuyas. So what's the difference? If the whole thing is open above 10 tvachim, it's still two separate rishuyas. Obviously, it's not going to help if you put a little window in the area that's above 10 tvachim. I mean, that's a given. So the question over here is you can have part of this opening within the 10 tvachim, and at that point, it becomes a real opening. Okay. If you want to, therefore, you can have one Erev together through the window by putting your Erev into the other guy's rishuyas, or you can, if you want to, each have your own separate Erev. But if it's less than 4 tvachim by 4 tvachim, or if it is above entirely 10 tvachim, so then you have no choice. You can only make two separate Eruvim. You cannot make a single Eruv. Wait a minute. 4 tvachim, isn't that the machlokas between Reb Shimon ben Gamliel that we had and Rebbe about whether 4 tvachim is considered to be lovud or 3 tvachim is considered to be lovud? And the Rabbanan say 3 tvachim. So over here, if it's 4 tvachim, is this Mishnah going according to Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, who says, kol pachot mi'arba'aka lavud dami? So I say, well, what does it have to do with lavud? Something to do with lavud. Lavud has to do with an area being completely and totally closed. We're not talking about that. I mean, okay, things like schach and stuff like that, and, you know, making a mechitza where there's basically mainly open space. We discussed all that area, all that issue, lagabe sukkah and lagabe erevin earlier. But here we're talking about what constitutes a doorway, what constitutes an opening. An opening is, everybody agrees, if you look on a moda, if you've got 4 by 4, it's an opening, and if you don't, you don't. Okay, now, if it's less than 4 by 4, so, thank you. I mean, really, I'm not so stupid that you have to tell me if it is 4 by 4 and it's within 10, then it's good. You don't have to really tell me that. But if it's not, it's not good, do you? I mean, like, come on. So, I mean, pshita, you told me it has to be arba al arba betocha sora. I mean, I do think I'm smart enough to figure out that if it's not arba al arba and it's not betocha sora, then it's not good. So why does the Mishnah repeat it? No, it's coming to tell me that the point is that if it is not at all betocha sora, that's what it means. In other words, time to kule the malam yasur. By repeating it, it's saying, look, the issue is it entirely above 10? I mean, it wasn't clear to me. Let's say it's partially within the 10 tvachim. Is that like one tefach of it within the 10 tvachim, and then the rest of the 4 is above the 10 tvachim? Is that good enough? So it's coming to tell me that actually it is. And as long as miktzato betoch hatzor, as long as you have some of the window within 10 tvachim, then ma'arvim shnayim, v'im ratzu ma'arvim echad. But if they want to, it's up to them. They can either use two or one. And that was basically, there really is a Braisa that talks this out. But remember that the Mishnah talks things out very, very. You're not in South Africa, Gavis. You don't have to be upside down. You're in the Northern Hemisphere. Remember? Thank you. So, okay, so the Mishnah made this sort of a condensed information by simply saying the rule. You could figure it out yourself. But the Braisa often talks it out. So this is the way that the Mishnah was Tanina Lo HaTanur Rabbanan, and the Mishnah basically tells me what the Braisa says. That if kulo lemala mi'asara, miktzato betoch asara, so even if a tiny little bit, you know, it's almost entirely above, but a little bit of it is within 10, or vice versa. If it's all within 10 and a little bit of it is above 10, it's fine. You have your choice of either making two or one. Wait a minute. I mean, obviously, if you're telling me if it's kulo lemala mi'asara, which means it's 90% above and 10% below, do you really have to say that if it's 90% below and 10% above, that that's also good? I mean, this is also a little ridiculous, isn't it? So kulo betoch asara miktzatzum al mi'asara mi boy. I mean, that's clear. Yes, but that's an acceptable rule, which is called zov ein tzarich lomar zo. When you're trying to bring out something very powerfully, like, let's not make any mistakes about it. Say, not only this, but even this. Okay, that's acceptable in a Mishnah. But just to repeat the negative of a positive, that's not acceptable. That's why we were looking for what additional point does it add. Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan says, okay, but what about if you're a hobbit? Now, if you're a hobbit, so then you get into all kinds of different problems because kind of square windows. What are you, nuts? Who would use a square window? So what happens? How do you define in Habitan? How do you define whether you make one Erev or two Erevs? Because you can't use the 4x4 if your windows are circular. So what do you do? Says Rabbi Yochanan, Chalon Agol, if you've got a circular window, then here's the deal. You're going to have a circumference of 24 Tvachim in order to give you the option of making the two Chatzeres with one Erev. And what's more, you need to have two and a little bit more of these, of that hekev within the asara. Okay, now let me just quickly point out what's going on in the sugya over here. Then we'll get into the details. So what's basically going on is that if Rabbi Yochanan is insisting that you need a circumference of 24 tvachim, that means by the Gemara's use of pi equals 3, what he's saying is that the diameter of the circle has to be 8, right? If the diameter of the circle is actually 8, then what you really could do is you could cut off 4 tvachim of the circle, meaning 2 on the bottom and 2 on the top and 2 on the side and 2 on the side. And you'd still have 4x4 square in it, right? That's the point. So what Rabbi Yochanan is saying is that if I make sure that I'm a little bit more than 2 tvachim of that circle is within 10 of the ground, so then I know that basically that I have a line of 4 within 10 of the ground. So on the one hand, Rabbi Yochanan is saying something ridiculous, as the Gemara is going to point out. Why in the world would I need a circumference of 24 to include a square of 4 when the diagonal of the square of 4 is only the square root of 2 times the 4, which is nowhere near 8? I mean, so what in the world? Fine, that's a different question. But right now, the main point that Rabbi Yochanan is saying is, look, if you're going to listen to me and you're going to make your circumference 24, then make sure that 2 plus of it is within the area of 10 tvachim from the ground, because that's the only way you could be sure that your square window that is inscribed within that circle will be within 10 tvachim of the ground. Okay, now we have to ask, why in the world would Rabbi Yochanan come up with that shear? I mean, that's a crazy shear that we're going to ask. But let's just get first his statement. So, shnaim u'mashu mehen. So, 2 tvachim and a bit more of that circumference has to be within toch asara of the ground. And that way, if you inscribe a square inside of that circumference, you're going to have some of that 4x4 square within 10 tefachim of the ground, and therefore, even a hobbit would be able to make a single Erev, and he wouldn't have to worry. Sisimara, wait a minute. I mean, unless hobbits have different geometries, something is very fishy about this. So we're going to go through, as the Gemara always does when it gets to these kind of sugyas, to make certain that you understand the difference between an area issue, a circumference issue, a diameter issue, and so on. So just to make it very clear, we always say, wait a second. Are we trying to turn the hobbit window into the same as 4x4? So then, I mean, if it's round, then it needs only 3 out of the 4, because pi is 3. And if we're ready to allow pi of being 3, so if we're taking the round window, so then we could actually put the same amount of circumference on the pi, because we're just missing one side of the square. So why don't we just take 12 tefachim? Multiply one side of the square by 3, right? And then you've got a 12 tefachim diameter circumference window, which ought to be good enough for any hobbit. Says the Gemara, well, but that's not what we're trying to do. I mean, that's all very true. If you'd be trying to turn your square into a circle, that would mean that it would have the same area so that the hobbit's body would be able to pass through, and that was an area issue. But that is not the point. We're not trying to make sure that a hobbit can pass through. We're trying to give you the same as the 4x4 to be inscribed in the circle, don't you see? So in order to make a ribua, if we're going to have the same as the ribua, we're going to need more. Okay, I mean, how much more? Look, again, how much bigger is a circle than a square? Again, assuming that we're talking about the shetach, the area, right? So in other words, the perimeter of the square is always going to be 1/4 bigger, right? So 4x4 in a square means you have a perimeter of 16 tefachim, 4 times 4. Okay, so why can't I have a full 16 tefachim in my circumference? And that gives me the same perimeter, so to speak. What's the difference if a perimeter is round or if a perimeter is square? So then, but I could still squeeze in the same way, right? So it ought to be okay for hobbits. No, says the Gemara. That's where you're inscribing a circle inside the square. Why would we want to inscribe the circle inside the square? The point that Rabbi Yochanan is making is that you really need to have a square window 4x4. Which means you need to inscribe the square in the circle, not the circle in the square. So a ribua, which is going to be nafik migo igula, that's going to be the square inside of it, and it's going to be subsumed by it, then you need more. Why do you need more? Because you need space for the diagonal, obviously. Because at all 4 corners, you're going to be measuring from the diagonal. You're not going to be measuring the length of the side of the square. So mishum mursha de karnata. Okay, fine. So let's use the Pythagorean theorem and figure out what the diagonal is. I guarantee you ain't going to get anywhere near what you're coming up with. Fine. Okay, so let's round off the square root of 2, which the Gemara allows us to do, to 1.4, right? So we don't have to get into the 414 and so on and so forth. As the Rambam says, any irrational number anyway, like pi or the square root of 2, it's a little bit absurd for us not to understand that we need to round it off. Because what are we going to do with an irrational number? By definition, we're rounding it off. And once you're rounding it off, Chazal always allow you to round it off in a very simple way. Okay, so we'll take pi, we'll round it off to 3, and we'll take the 1.4, et cetera, and we'll put it 1.4. Okay. So that gives us the rule. 1.4 equals that for every single amma, you have 1.4, which is 4/10, which is actually 2/5. So you've got 1 amma and 2/5 in your diagonal. Okay, so let's multiply the side of the square, which is 4, by 1.4, or 1 amma and 2/5, and you end up with 16 4/5, 16.8, right? So it's a very simple calculation. Then how the heck do you come up with 24? There's an awfully big difference between 16 or close to 17 and 24. Well, Rabbi Yochanan was actually going, according to the Dayone de Caesarea, or some say it was the Rabbonin in Caesarea, where according to them, what they point out is that if you have a circle that's inscribed in a square, so then its circumference is indeed a quarter less. That's the 3-to-4 relationship that we started with. But if you have the square, which is inscribed in a circle, then that is going to be smaller by 1/2 than the circumference of the circle. So in other words, it's a 1/3 difference. So if that's the case, then we would have to actually, if the circle is 1.5 times, that's what it boils down to, 1.5 times larger than the square inside of it, so then that would mean that I would need 24 to be able to put in a circle of 4x4. I would have to do the equivalent of 8. So I would make it, instead of 16, it would be 16 plus 8, which is 24. That's the reason that Rabbi Yochanan gave us that 2 amas plus on all sides, because it was really way too big. Now, I mean, the question is, this is insane. Why would anybody use that measurement? I mean, as the Gemara points out elsewhere, it's ridiculous to try to use the Rabbana de Caesarea, since any idiot can look at it and see that we definitely do not have a relationship like that. So what is it talking about? So Tosis explains that the Rabbana de Caesarea were pointing out some fascinating relationships of the area of an inscribed square versus the area of a superscribed square on the circle that inscribes that square. And it turns out that the area is close to, indeed, 1/2 the difference, which is fascinating. Okay, but doesn't explain, says Tosfos, why Rabbi Yochanan would have used that kind of value. Now, the Gra understands that the reason that Rabbi Yochanan was using that value was because of the fact that he gave you the measurement of the 2 plus that you have to put this in underneath within the 10. And what Rabbi Yochanan was really talking about was the superscribed square on the circle that was inscribed in the original square. And that really does come out to close to 24. And the reason that he did that is because he wanted you to envision the 2 amas, the 2 tvachim rather, that you would have to pull it down. So he wants you to measure from the bottom of a circle. So he said, take the square that you would put around that circle and look at that square. If it's 2 tvachim plus, then it's okay. That would bring your 4 into, it's a brilliant explanation of the Gra, would bring your 4 down into the area which you need, which is very, very cute. And he also manages to make sense of Rashi, which is amazing because Rashi makes absolutely no sense according to anybody. Nobody's been able to figure out the right, but the Gra was a brilliant mathematician, as is known Stamm for secular sources. He was like the generation's greatest mathematician. So he figures out what Rashi is saying also about how it would take off on each side. What Rashi is referring to is the area of the circumference that would extend from the edge of the square on each side to the point of the 2.5 amas above. That's what it's referring to. So if you take that amount off, that's going to be the place where the, which is like crazy. But okay, so that's going to give you the place where you get the 4x4. Okay, but anyway, but you get the point. So if you're a hobbit, you'll have to be more medayic. If not, it's sort of easy to remember the halacha over here. Okay, anyway, so getting back to the Mishnah. So pachot mi arba al arba. So if it's less than that, and then it's got to be 4x4 and 10 tvachim. Says Reb Nachman, wait a minute, this business about needing, it's going to turn out that what Reb Nachman is really saying, they might as well, you know, look at it right up front about what he's saying. Reb Nachman is actually saying that the din of needing something to be within 10 tvachim of the ground is only where you're talking about 2 chatzerot. But if you're talking about 2 homes, and these 2 homes want to be able to carry from one to the other, they can make a eruv between them through a window at any height in the wall. He agrees that it still has to be 4x4, but he says it in a way that confuses us. So we need to get to that point. Because what he says was, nah, this is only true, which sounds like the whole thing is only true, but he didn't mean that. This is only true if you're talking about between two chatzeras, but if you're talking about between two batim, so then even if it's lamala mi'asura, then if they want to, they could be ma'arif together. Why? Because a house is, and we've seen this idea before, a house is seen as if it is full. Now, we had that back in Shabbat. Remember, we're talking about throwing something from one window. A kid throws a baseball, breaks the glass of one window, goes to the house, comes out the other window. And the question is whether there's a din that the baseball actually had been at rest in the house. Then we get this idea that it could be that we view a Rosh HaSayochid as a basic command, a Mal Yadamya, and it's as if it was Nach in the middle. Okay, so the idea we had before as to what its application would be over here, it's a little bit strange because, I mean, but Pashtas, this is a sort of a logistic thing. If it's L'mala Mi'asara, it's difficult for us to pass things through and so on. Whereas if it's a L'mala Mi'asara, it's very easy to pass things through. I mean, why would like a technicality of basic command of Mal Yadamya make such a difference? And before we get to that question, let's just make sure we understand Reb Nachman, because Rava says to Reb Nachman, how can you say that this halacha was only said about chatzerot? If the Braita says, I don't give a hang whether you're talking about shtei chatzerot, you're talking about shtei batim, you're talking about shtei aliyot, two people that live in adjacent second stories, or two people who are on roofs in which there's a little wall between my roof and your roof, and we've got an opening in the roof. Obviously, this is not according to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon would have to explain this differently. We'll get to that later. And I don't care whether it's two rooms in the house, whatever. You always need 4x4 within 10 tefachim. Is Reb Nachman saying against the Braita? Reb Nachman says, no, that was only referring to, what he really means, of course, is that last part about Petoch HaSorah. That last part was only the part about the Chotzer. That's what he really means. And of course, Rav, what do you mean that's only about between the Chotzer? It says, I don't give a hang what it is. It's all the same. You said Echad, whether it's a Chotzer, a Bias, a Cheder, a Gog. I mean, what are you telling me? No. It's all the same refers to the part that is a 4x4. I agree to that. Of course, 4x4 defines an opening. I only said that as far as the placement of that opening from the floor, it's not relevant in a house. Because a house doesn't have to worry about the distance from the floor to the opening. Now, there's two possible ways of understanding it. One way is that a house doesn't have to worry because it's as if it's full, because it's full of furniture. So in other words, so what's the big deal? So it's a little bit high. So fine, so pull a chair over from the table, stand up on the chair and pass the stuff through. In other words, if you're in a chotzer, so how are you going to get stuff from one chotzer to the other if something is 20 feet high? But in a house, it doesn't matter. You'll find something, you know. So that's one approach. But the other approach is that, look, since the house is enclosed, like we said back in Masechet Shabbos, we can't technically describe a particular distance from a floor to the window, and therefore we just have to leave that open. It's not a logistical thing. It's a halachic thing. There's no distance because the whole thing is not really considered to be empty space. Now, the way to decide that issue is very simple. How about if the window is on the ceiling? So it's basically a passageway between the lower story and the second story. So now, if you're going to tell me basic amad mal yadamya means that there's always things to stand on, I mean, so then, you know, if we're talking about something that is up on the next story, now that is definitely not something that you can rely on. Heck, the Rebbe just tried helping me with my sukkah, and we didn't have a ladder that was strong enough to get to the top where the schach was. Okay, so certainly that doesn't count. So that's exactly what Reb Abba asked Reb Nachman. Let me ask you something. Okay, I just demand command the mal yadamya. But suppose you have a window that is basically horizontal. It's not vertical. It's on the next story. So it's a lula patuach ben bayit ba'aliya. I want to know if, I mean, I remember we had the story before, if one side of of the city has like ladders all with going up all along one side and down the other side. So we said, okay, so a ladder is viewed as a real petach. So I'm asking a simple question. If the two rishuyas, one family lives on the second story and one family lives on the first story, and they want to make one eruv to be able to transfer between them, do they need a permanent ladder or stairway, obviously, between the two rishuyas, or are you saying it really doesn't matter? We'd have to take a broom and put the chalent on the broom and stick it up to the second story. That would also be good. Because that's what's going to decide how I understand your point. So do they need a sulam kavua or do they not? So I mean, I'm trying to understand what you mean when you say beta kamanda malya dami. When you're saying beta kamanda malya dami, does that mean for a vertical window that is somewhere along the wall? But I mean, in the middle of a ceiling, it wouldn't apply because who's to say that you've got somewhere there? You need to have a ladder. Oh, there, Maloshna. Maybe the point is that it's halachically enclosed and therefore fine. So I don't care. It's halachically enclosed and it doesn't matter. No, I mean, it's halachically enclosed. You do not need a permanent ladder. Oh, okay. So Rababa understood that to mean you don't need the permanent ladder to define there as being an actual petach. I understand. But you do need access, right? I mean, I'm assuming. I mean, you need to own a ladder, no, to be able to get there. You're certainly not telling me I could put the chalent on a broomstick. So Reb Abba assumed that sulam kavua hudeinu tzarech. All that Reb Nachman was saying is it does not have to be that you've put a ladder there to make it into a petach. It is a petach, okay. So you certainly, Reb Abba, assume you're not talking about that we don't need to consider the logistics at all. I mean, you need to own a ladder, right? A sulam aroi tzarech, I mean, for Shabbos, in order to be able to do it, you have to have a ladder there. But that wasn't true. Itmar, Omer of Yezu Bar Minyumi, Omer of Nachman, it is not true. This is not a logistic consideration at all. This is purely a halakhic consideration. As to how you're going to get your cholent up there, use magic, I don't know, or put it on some type of superconducting magnet, you know. But I don't care how you get it there. But the point is, Echad Sulam Kavua, Echad Sulam Arai, Eino Tzarech, you have a din of being essentially one rishus if you so choose. Sir Richard, you get to get on stage twice. Yeah, that was great. You're not going to sock me with a big bill for overtime, are you? Kotel sheben shtei chatzerot. Now, let's talk about another issue. This is a really cute issue. You've got a wall. You don't have an opening in the wall. You're two separate chatzeros. You're doomed to two separate eruvim. Okay. But how about if the wall is so wide that it allows you to actually climb up there and use the top of the wall? So, like, is the top of the wall a separate rishus for which both chatzeros have access to and therefore they aser on each other? Or is that viewed as somehow or other not shayach to either of them, that would be aser on both of them? How exactly do we view it? So says the Mishnah, if you've got this wall between two chatzeros, which is a minimal of 10 tefachim high, but in this case, it's thick. It's, when we talk about wide, we mean thick. It's 4 tefachim thick. Okay, so then what's the situation? The situation over there is you have a separate rishus on top of the wall. So you do not have an option because of that to put your chatzeros together. You still have two separate eruvs. That's for sure. There's no chalon, there's no petach, there's no way to join together. Okay, now the question is, suppose you've got some food on top. Let's say there's a nice bunch of bananas for the little monkeys that are living in the two chatzeros. Can they climb up these little exciting primates, come up to the top of that wall and eat their bananas? Yes. Elo olim mikan v'ochlin, ve'elo olim mikan v'ochlin. Everybody can have fun eating bananas on top of the wall as long as you don't bring any bananas down to the bottom. Because since it's 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim wide and it's 10 tefachim high, so now it has a din of a different rishus. Now, Lamaisa, according to Rabbi Shimon, we really shouldn't care. Because he says all of these reshuyas are considered to be all the same. And this is no different than a roof to a chatzar to a bavoy, so on and so forth. And that all of the restrictions, remember, are only carrying something that wasn't there, such as bringing the bananas out of the house. Yes, of course, Reb Nachman then would agree. But over here it says the bananas were on top of the wall. So then that means I'll leave it to Rabbi Shimon. There should be no problem whatsoever. The same way I can carry anything. We had that sugya way, way before with the shayla of bringing out stuff into the mavoi for the tinok that required the water, for the meal and so on. It's all the same rishus. And yet over here it's saying that because it's a separate rishus from the chatzar, that even if the bananas were there, you can't bring the bananas to the chatzar. I mean, the problem is that we paskin like Reb Shimon in this, so it's a little bit strange. I mean, unless we understand that what it means is you can't bring it down into your house. That's true, according to Reb Shimon. It's only the house that's considered to be a rishus. So just be careful not to, I mean, it's not the simple meaning, but that's how Reb Shimon would have to learn, as Tosis explains. Okay, so then it's not a problem if there was a piritza in the wall. So if it's 10 amos or less, so then the din is, that has a din of, remember, a passageway, petach. And a petach leaves it up to you. Either you want to make one erev, you want to make two erevs, it's all up to you. If it's more than 10 amos, then you don't have a choice, because then it's a piritza. And then basically you really are one chatzar. And you have no choice. Either you're going to make an Erev together, you're not going to have an Erev at all. Okay, so you have no way to do two Erev. Now, the Mishnah talked about the case where you had four. What if you didn't have four Amos, four Tvachim on top? So if you don't have four Tvachim on top, then L'chari Yer Mokom Ptur, no? Omar Rav, if you have less than four Tvachim on top, then you're in big trouble. Why? Because then avir shtei rishuyot sholetet bo, and lo yaziz bo afilu melo nima. Basically, it's too thin to be considered rishus bifnei atzma. And since each chotzer can stick their hand onto that roof, so they are being sholet on a mokum tour that becomes subsumed by their chotzer. But an area that is being used by two separate chatzeros that do not and cannot have an Erev between them is a disaster, because you can't move things out of where they are at all. Because whatever you're moving it to is taking it away from the other reshus that is sholet on it. And this is a new idea, reshut sholetet. So it's the equivalent of taking it out of their chatzar into your chatzar. So leave it alone. And that would be true for both of those chatzeras. And therefore, lo yaziz bo afil melo nima. You can't even move it one hair's breadth out of where it is, because you're being motzi from one private rishus into a rabbonin's defined one type of private rishus to another. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan says, actually, you can bring your food up to the top of the wall. You can bring your food down from the top of the wall. You can eat it on top of the wall from both sides, because it's considered to be a mokum p'tur. And remember that we had Rabbi Yochanan Shita actually in Shabbos, who explains that a mokum p'tur, it's really open to both Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah. Remember that case? We have the mokum p'tur between Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah. Rabbi Yochanan said, as the Gemara is about to explain, that both sides can use it. And we don't say that they aser on each other. You're not allowed to use the mokum p'tur to transfer from one to the other, because we're concerned maybe you won't put the thing down. But you're certainly, if you're in Rishus HaYochid, you can put your backpack down in that mokum p'tur. And if you're Rishus HaRabim, you can put your backpack down in that mokum p'tur. And the truth is that if Lamaisa, someone took it out into the other Rishus, there wouldn't be any Yisr D'Oraisa involved, because you're allowed to carry from a mokum p'tur into either of those Rishuyos. The Rabbanu goes or not to pass it through by putting it down first, because you might pass it through without putting it down first, and then you get into a problem of a D'Oraisa. Okay, I understand. But this is very consistent with Rabbi Yochanan. The only problem is that the Mishnah, now first we don't realize the mechanism over here, because, I mean, we thought that the four Tvachim is not the definitive point. So it says in the Mishnah, you can go up and eat from either side, but you can't bring up. And Rabbi Yochanan said, you can bring up. Yeah, but what the Mishnah is saying is that if it has four tvachim by four tvachim, you can only go up but not bring up. All I was saying is, Rabbi Yochanan, is if it doesn't have four by four, you can even bring up, because this is a makom p'tur, and this is Rabbi Yochanan l'taime. D'chiyata Rav Dimi Amar Rabbi Yochanan, makom she'in bo arba'al arba'ah. As long as you have an area that is less than four by four, and it's between Rishos HaYochanan and Rishos HaRabim, anybody can use it. Mutter Levnei Rishos HaRabim to use, Mutter Levnei Rishos HaYochanan to use, the Katefal means to adjust your backpack. So that means you can put your backpack down there as long as you don't transfer from one Rishos to the other, which is Gzeira D'Rabbanan in the event that you would put the backpack down, obviously. But it's Gzeira D'Rabbanan because we're afraid you won't put the backpack down and you'll actually put it through the Makom P'tur and you'll set it down in the other Rishos. And the din is if it isn't Nach in the Makom P'tur, so then you could be Chayev. And because of that, D'Rabbanan asserted it.